Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the epistle lesson. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. This is our text. So we are back to the Lenten series, walking with Paul on the way to the cross and beyond. Each year, 20% of our time together in the church is spent as a time of repentance. Some people, like Garrison Keillor, among others, made fun of this, even saying that Lutherans were those people who liked to feel bad in some strange way. They reveled in their guilt, etc. I think it goes a different way. I think maybe those Lutherans that he parodied understood something that Garrison Keillor's sense of humor couldn't understand. After all, who would put themselves through this kind of painful, unpleasant experience? Especially when the rest of the world is getting ready to party, getting all excited about it during Advent and even Lent. We're getting ready to plant. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. We're getting ready for the summer. So what's up with this? Well, we've been walking with Paul. Walked with Abraham, we walked with Adam, we walked through the troubles and trials, and now we walk in the light. And that should give us a hint about what this is all about. In the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this difficulty and struggle and trial, we walk in the light. Not the light that the media proposes, not the light that the president proposes or any other leaders around the world, but the light of the Lord. The Lord provides light for the saints as they make their way to the cross and beyond. Now, sinners don't like light. The defense mechanism sinners have and possess are quite strong. The psalmist says, all men are liars. There is no one good. All men are liars. What does that mean? It means that they cover themselves up. They deny their actions. They try to deceive others with a variety of pretenses and, well, shall we say, costumes. But the only one we truly deceive, according to John, is ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Our neighbor will not be convinced about our sinlessness once they get to know us. And God already knows our hearts, the words and the thoughts before they even hit our mouths. But human beings have developed a huge number of techniques, including the one mentioned above, about the unpleasantness. Today in our world, people ask us to join them in their sin, to confirm them in their sin. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, as he lists all the things that will happen during the end times, he says, and on top of all of this, there will be groups of people who approve of what all these people are doing. They will confirm them. Because if we don't affirm them, we will drive them away. We'll drive them away from the church. But Christians don't run away from the light. It's a deception. It's a self-deception. Perhaps we're deceiving ourselves about our sons, our daughters, our nieces, our nephews, our relatives, our friends. They demand that we confirm them in their sin. We're afraid we'll drive them away. but the light is the only thing that can do them any good. You see, they have no intention of confessing that they are in darkness. Think about it for a moment. We have the law written in our hearts. We know what it is like to try to cover our failings and our sins. We try to keep up the pretense, even in the midst of marriage, even in the midst of friendships. As Shakespeare says, the trouble we go through to spin webs of deceit. It's amazing to watch. But Christians, even Christians in their own personal lives, as Paul describes in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, and also in Galatians 5, they are enduring a battle with a liar, their old sinful nature. They're enduring a battle against sin in their own nature and the devil himself. We have been tempted to think that when we find the right theology, when we find the right church, when we go to a place that makes us feel like we're settled and everything is okay and we find comfort there, we're in the right place. We're tempted to believe those kinds of lies. But the text before us doesn't talk like that. It talks about shining the light down deep into our hearts. Paul says in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. We see this in Ephesians 4 and 5, right before our text, where Paul lists over and over and over again a variety of things which he warns the Ephesian church not to stumble into. He exhorts the church to put aside, to put off the old man, to recognize the struggle. Paul says in Romans 7, here's what I'm like, the good that I want to do, that's the very thing I don't want to do, and the very thing I do, I don't want to. And so the Lord comes with his light, and the sinful nature intends to put the new man to death by shutting out the light, by complaining about the light. But the battle is serious, and the Lord is serious, and he brings the light to bear on our lives. In fact, that's a promise he makes us. The end of the text, the little poem says, arise, you who are dead, you who sleep, and Christ will give you light. So the question for us today is, do we want the light? Well, the reason the light comes is so that we can actually look on the cross properly, so that we can see it for what it is, and we can see and understand the man on the cross for who he really is. And that happens as we begin to understand who we are. The old sinful nature intends to put man, the new man, to death. The old man does not like the light, but the new man rejoices in the light. The saints love the light. The new nature created in baptism loves the light and bravely walks in it. We are called to walk in the light as children of it. That is, the Lord daily shines the light of the word on us. Walk as children of the light. That is, walk as God engages you with his love, even when he speaks to you about your sin. Don't run away, don't cover up, don't deny, don't lie, don't deceive yourself, but rather seek to discover what is well-pleasing to the Lord. Seek to discover what's wrong in your life, what the Lord in love is pointing out. This is not something easy to bear. It exposes our failings. And when we look at our failings, at our hearts, in our minds, we end up throwing up our hands. We end up giving up and despairing of ourselves. And it's then that we're ready to look to the cross. It's then that we're ready to stand at the foot of the cross. It drives us to the cross, actually. It drives us to look, to seek help and mercy and grace, which is for sinners. Even in the midst of sheltering in place and all the anxiety and fear that we endure these days, the call from God is not to harden our hearts and minds against the warnings, not to try to shut down the light, but walk in the light. To rejoice in the fact that the God who loves us reveals to us the battle and reveals to us the victory. He daily makes clear where the dangers are. Thy word is a lamp to my path, a light to my path, and a lamp for my feet. He shows us, he warns us, so that we do not stumble. The psalmist in Psalm 119 also says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So that we can see and turn away from sin and every evil. Martin Chemnitz said, when you first notice the temptation, the tugging away to do something wrong, the fire kind of starting to flame up, it's that time that you turn away from sin and the temptation, and in repentance cry out for mercy. We walk in the light, and it requires faith to walk in the light. We need to be born again as a child who trusts his Father and believes that the Father loves him because of Christ, because of our brother, the Lord. We learn that through the Word and Spirit, and we desire to walk in the light. For the fruit of this work of God in the midst of our daily lives is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Imagine that. What a promise God makes us of what he's making of us, even in the midst of a world that is shut down. God can still do a good and beautiful work. He doesn't depend on the government. He doesn't depend on doctors. He doesn't depend on any of that. Rather, he comes into our world. He shines his life, his light on our lives, and we see where true goodness rests. That is, it rests in the one who puts things back together. When he had put everything together, he said it was all good. And then came the fall, and everything comes apart. The center cannot hold. And so God promises this one, this Christ, who is going to come and make things good again. Put it together so it's all what it's meant to be. And we see in the person and work of Christ what we were meant to be, what love looks like in the flesh. The righteousness. The fruit of the Spirit of this work, the fruit of the Spirit is in all righteousness. We learn where true righteousness abides. The whole world is virtue signaling. Today, over and over again, you hear people wondering whether we should worry more about the economy or people who could get sick and die. Maybe they need to be sacrificed, is implied underneath the surface. And we don't know what to do with that because we already sacrifice our own children for the sake of the economy. We don't find righteousness. There is no one righteous, no, not one, except Christ. The light shines and we see in us no righteousness, no goodness. And as Paul says in Philippians 3, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. We desire to walk in the light because while the light does expose our sin, it does expose our fractured creatureliness, it also shows us what God intends to make of us, shaping and forming us into the image of Christ and giving us a righteousness which will abide even till the last day, a righteousness which is from God by faith. And the fruit of the Spirit is truth. We truly see ourselves for who and what we are. And we also see Christ on the cross for who he is, God for us. We become those whose lives are whole, who've stopped living for ourselves in sin. We have a properly ordered life, the image of Christ. We become little Christs to our neighbors. We don't hide sins, but rather, Paul says, we expose them. That's why Christians go to church and hear God's word. They want the light to shine, to expose. And yes, they are ashamed of what they have done. They feel guilt over what they have done. But they know that that's not the end of the story. For walking in the light has the purpose of fixing our hearts and our minds on our Savior, not on ourselves. Expose them. It's a hard passage, but it's the opposite of the deceitfulness of sin. It calls upon us to recognize and confess our sins. It calls upon us to rejoice in the fact that there is one who cares enough and loves us enough to talk to us, to expose and call attention to our failings. There is a temptation among Christians today to be pretentious, to avoid exposing sin and calling it what it is. We talk about marketing the church, and of course, when we market something, we don't want anybody to know anything bad about us. And yet, when we read the scriptures, when we read the seven letters to the churches that Jesus speaks to the pastors of those seven churches, we find that there isn't a church who's got it all together. There are those famous words that come from Christ again and again. I have this against you. You need to repent of this. You need to turn and become better. You need to take upon yourselves my image. How hard, but how lovely. And how great it is to give up the pretense, to run to the cross and beyond. So the Lord calls all to be saved and receive this gift. This is the way that Christians live. Not covering up sin, but recognizing them in and on the person of Christ on the cross. And for that reason, we know that we are truly covered, not by our own lies and deceit, not by any pretense, but by the blood of Christ alone. And because we are covered by the blood of Christ, we are covered and dressed up in the righteousness that we could never produce, ready for that last day, ready for whatever comes, even death by virus. Paul says, awake, do not sleep. Do not snore during the times of light. Do not avoid the times of repentance and faith, for that is the life of a baptized believer, as Luther says in the fourth part of baptism. It's a life that leads to all that is good, true, and righteous. It's a life, it's the life of God's children in the midst of this fallen world. A life in which the light of God shines and reveals our daily need. A life which enables us to see Christ on the cross for who he is, the one who is for us. And this is what sustains us in difficult times like this, isn't it? That we recognize our need for grace and mercy, but more importantly, this one who gave his son to hang on a cross in our place, we recognize whether we're anxious about the virus, whether we're going crazy for being sheltered away, if he gave his son for us, is there anything else that he won't give us? We already heard that pandemics are calls to repentance, calls to get ready to die. And yet, as we heard yesterday, to live, to truly live a whole, beautiful, good life here, even in the midst of sin and death. A life that walks in the light, where illness, sin is uncovered and healed by the light and by the balm of God's love and mercy. We stand in the midst of this world, and we don't worry. We're not afraid, for the Lord's light will lead us again on all the paths that we have to trod, and will lead us again to the cross, but not just to the cross. The Good Shepherd calls us to hear him as he leads us home, and in the midst of it, his mercy and grace feeds and cares and heals us. Amen.